Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Like, what do you think Snuffle up against is? Like, oh, he's lovey and cuddly. No, he looks scary as hell.
But he looks like a woolly mammoth. I liked that when I was a kid.
Yeah?
Yeah, woolly mammoths were like a big part of my imagination when I was a kid. It looked like an elephant, but got fur all over it, and they're extinct. I like them.
And it talks.
Big tusks.
And it talks.
And it talks, yeah. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio. The ESPN app, go to the Listen Live feature on the ESPN app. You get your boys right in your ears wherever you go. If you get to work, you got that driveway moment. I don't want to get out of the car. I don't want to be late for work. What do? Pop in the app right in your ears, right in the old ear holes, guys. Guys, Key, Jay, good morning, first of all. Top of the hour to you.
Hey.
Hey, Key. Why that voice?
No, I was wondering when you got back. When did you get back, Jay?
Get back from where?
Well, you had a busy day. You worked. You first of all, you worked with us yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm.
You hopped on the 650.
Jumped
over the pond.
Over the pond.
And then you came back, Russ. And then you hit up the Michael Jordan event.
Yeah, met Russ. We did our thing. Came back.
Was it better hanging with the Royals or hanging with Mike?
It was. Yeah, I want to know that too. What was better, hanging out with the Royals or hanging with Mike?
Why'd you just ask the same question Max just asked?
I was repeating it because I was like, I wanted to know.
Yeah,
Mike. It was Mike.
It was Mike.
It was Mike.
How did that go?
Last night was dope. I mean, it was his whole party for Sin Coro. It was great. PJ Tucker was there.
Does he do little competitive things even now, like if he has a party and everyone's showing up for him, but still is he slighting people somehow or competing with them?
Oh, that never changes with him, man. Have you ever been with this dude on the golf course?
No.
I mean, he can make you uncomfortable very quickly. With the amount of cash that gets bet per hole.
Did he make you uncomfortable yesterday, Jay?
No, he did not.
You could compete with that. Come on now, Jay.
No, I want nothing to do with it. It's light with you. You making $650 million a year off your shoe brand? I'm not messing with you at all. You got it.
Big bank always wins. Big bank take little bank?
All day long. Yes. Welcome to Vegas.
Ooh, Jay.
Why are you doing the math?
Who, me?
I see you thinking.
You know when you say he looks like a bad little kid sometimes? Right now, he's got the look on his face.
I just see him thinking. I'm like, No.
It's serious, though. I was about to ask you if Paul was in there with you. Is Paul right there with you?
Yeah, Paul is here with me.
Okay, so when you get an opportunity, ask Paul to show you my NFT. And you made
Paulie.
Me think about money.
He's got an NFT?
Paul made me think about money with your... When you mentioned $650 million, and I was just thinking, Jay making a lot of money off the NFTs and cryptos and stuff and all that. So it just made me think about it a little bit. That's all.
Paul, show this to me. What is this?
It's just an NFT, man. It's something that they put out, I guess. I didn't know anything about it. I got to collect my royalties on it or something.
Does this have something to do with the metaverse?
I think it has something to do with the metaverse.
Yeah.
In the meantime, though, you got to think about some of the things that the Giants have been able to do.
Oh, I like it, Key.
No, you got to think about some of the things the Giants have been able to do.
Anti-Hackett, right? The anti-Nathaniel Hackett. Brian Daboll, you want to talk about winning culture, winning the locker room, winning the fans, even if they'd have lost the game. Punch it in, Saquon. Punch it in, Saquon, and it worked.
Brian Daboll wants to make sure the Giants, though, aren't sitting around celebrating one win. He wants to turn that page really quickly, Max.
Well, want to hear him?
I absolutely want to hear him.
All right, I'll read you what he said, all right? Ready?
Okay.
I'm happy we won, but it's one game. He said this at the press conference. If it was the other way around, it's one game. We got to get ready to go on to the next week. That's right. It's the right thing to say, right, Key? He sets the tone, play calling, then he sets the tone at the press conference.
Absolutely.
Can I pose this to you guys?
He's not taking receipts, apparently. He's just worried about the next week.
I mean, it's always next play, right? I love that about Brian Daboll. But, realistically, my expectations are starting to change. And I know people are going to say, oh, don't put that on the Giants. They're still a year away. And, you know, but it's a make or break year for Daniel Jones. So, it's not realistic to think, oh, they're a year away, because a year away, Daniel Jones may not be here. This is his year. Saquon Barkley up for a big contract. His year. Dak Prescott being out for the Cowboys. Even if it is 4 weeks that Jerry Jones has changed the timeline.
The Commanders getting better helps them, because now the Eagles don't run away necessarily.
There you go. It's gonna be muck it up type of division. Like, is it realistic for me to think that the Giants have a legitimate chance to win the division
this
year?
Let's ask a football expert. Key, what do you think?
I don't know that they have the legitimate shot of winning it all. Here's what I'm going to say. This is an evaluation period for the Giants. They won the game against the Tennessee Titans team that I don't believe is as good as they were 2 years ago when they played the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't believe that. So can they somehow win one game at a time, start stacking them together and look up and they got six wins and they feel like they in it? Yeah, they can, but I don't think realistically that their approach is such that they're trying to make a strong run. If it happens to fall in their lap, they will. I think they're in the evaluation process, and along the way, if something comes about it, then they, you know what I'm saying? Then they're like, oh, okay.
Then tomorrow came early.
Yeah, tomorrow came early. I think that's where they're at.
You know, here's the one caveat, Key, and I really believe this about Saquon. It's possible he can do it. I said before the season, Aaron Judge might hit 60, right? It's a combination of things. How old is he is, what he's done in the past. He's gotten healthy, contract year, motivated, the whole thing, right? Well, yeah. Saquon hasn't been really healthy since he's a rookie. He's really healthy for the first time. Looked really good in preseason and training camp and everything. And they got to run the whole offense through him. Key, it's possible he goes for 2,500 yards. I mean, that's not impossible.
No, it's not. It's
so
not impossible.
If he does, you might be winning some of those games, right?
Yeah, if he's going to run, if he's going to get 2,500 yards of all-purpose yards, you are going to win some of those games. That means probably, do the math, 1,700 on the ground.
Yeah, 800, yeah.
800 seems like a lot in the air. For
but it's 17 games, Key. He got something like 7 and change as a rookie.
I know, but it still seems like a lot.
But they're going to – we'll look at the receiving core for the Giants.
But even if he did
2,200, yeah.
2,000, it still is – you're going to win some games.
And if he does 1,800, you're going to win some games, right? Like, he's going to be involved all over the field on the offense. He's going to find the end zone a lot. I think because of Saquon and an improved offensive line, Jay, I think they are going to be in the – I don't know about the mix.
But are they an improved offensive line based on one game? Or are they going to continue to improve?
Well, here's the thing. First of all, their identification of talent on the line, coaching them up, putting them together has been lacking for 10 years. They got Andrew Thomas. They finally got one right. He's good on the left side. Evan Neal should be good on the right side. He's a high first-round pick, and he was considered the most polished all-around offensive lineman in the draft.
Yeah.
And then they got good interior line guys. They picked up. They signed
Where's Hernandez at?
Will Hernandez, is he not even on the field?
Not on the field.
But, Key, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're the second-best team in the division.
He's not with them anymore.
I don't know about that, Jay.
He's with Arizona.
Who's the second-best? I get it. Is Dallas? I mean, not Dallas.
Damn, they got rid of him? I didn't catch that one.
Not Dallas.
It was a big disappointment.
So you're saying the Commanders are the second-best team in the division?
So it would be Philly?
Yeah, Philly's won. The Giants.
And probably the Commanders.
Man,
I'll take Daniel Jones over Carson Wentz.
I'm not taking Daniel Jones over Carson Wentz. No way in hell.
You know why?
Because the Commanders this weekend in Detroit, by the way.
I'll tell you why, Keith. First of all,
you just hate Daniel Jones, man.
Daniel Jones moves better than Carson Wentz.
He does. No.
He's faster. He's faster than Carson Wentz. They both know he's faster.
Easily taking Daniel Jones.
I'm not talking about Wentz pre-injury. Before he hurt his knee, Wentz was good.
I'm not talking about pre-injury either.
And Wentz is more accurate than Wentz. Wentz is not accurate.
Yeah, I don't know
and
about that.
And in the moment of truth, even though in the moment of truth, he's the least accurate quarterback down the field or the second least in the NFL among starters last year. And in the moment of truth, whether or not you trust Jones, I already know what I'm getting from Carson Wentz. I don't want it.
No,
not in the moment of truth.
You don't know that. You know what you've gotten from him based on what happened in Indianapolis, a different situation, a change of scenery. He certainly looked good to me the other day in the game. He certainly looked good.
He looked good at times last year, too. He did.
Yeah, he looked better.
He looked good against the Jaguars. And
it didn't matter. He looked good.
I'll take the Giants backup over Carson Wentz.
Oh, God. You got to Philadelphia, don't like him. Hate still brewing. I get it.
I called him the best player in the NFL before he got hurt in 17.
He had two interceptions, and one of them was really bad. I don't know if he looked.
I've never seen regression from a young player ever like I saw from Carson Wentz. At one point, he was the MVP of the league before he got hurt the year they won the Super Bowl, and he's been downhill ever since.
You're never as good in your first year coming back off an ACL injury as you once was. It takes time. It just takes time. And I get it, y'all Giant fans. So I'm not trying to rain on y'all parade. Y'all won. But I don't think y'all the second best team.
Yeah, you might be. Listen,
it's a little bit of a stretch.
The Commanders are ahead of. If you just go by schedule, Commanders are farther along in their schedule than the Giants.
Absolutely.
That's true.
Absolutely.
Then we got to see how the chips fall. But that much is true. So Brian Daboll wants the Giants to turn the page quick. Are they good enough to compete for a playoff spot? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Brian in North Carolina. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Man, guys, longtime Giants fan. I used to have a Rodney Hampton poster on my wall, right? So love the big blue. Listen, man, it sets up for a 4-0 start. But if they go 2-2 in this four-game start, then I think we know if they're sort of old Giants or if Daboll's got them ready. Because now with Dak hurt, they could legit be 4-0 at the start here, looking at two tough games after that. So the schedule sets up well. I think we know in these first four games.
Yeah, I don't think you might as well turn the page on the old Giants because they're beyond that now. They're beyond the old Giants, meaning the Joe Judge Giants. That's over with. This is an entirely new regime. You could smell it. You could see it. Brian Daboll responding different things, going for two. The players respond to him differently. You know, nobody responded to Joe Judge like that, even when they did win a game.
But Key, let me tell you why I don't trust it with the Commanders. Their game.
You're back on that.
Well, because that's who I'm making a case on why, and I agree with the caller that I think there's a chance for the Giants to have a great start to be in that position. Is that the game that they last had? Okay, was the most Carson Wentz-like game possible? Right, he threw for four touchdowns. But he literally threw two horrible interceptions in the fourth to allow the other team to come back and have a chance to win. Like, there were really bad plays. He came through down the stretch. But, like, that roller coaster of a ride is what I've known Carson Wentz to be. It's consistent with who he is as a player. And I just don't trust in that. I feel like I trust more if the Giants can get a good start and what they're building in that core of a team.
You know, by the way, when someone says, hey, the Giants can start 4-0, they could have easily lost the game against the Titans.
Yeah, but they did.
Tannehill
they
dropped a dime in there. It was not an unmakeable field goal. Like, they could have easily lost that game. I agree with Key here. It's not that the Giants, oh, my God. It's that they're going to show you they're going to compete. And if you compete, you look up week six, week eight, you see where you are.
See where you're at. You can't put them in the Super Bowl after 1 week against Tennessee.
Well, who's putting them in the Super Bowl?
You guys are talking about how you can't win the Super Bowl after week one.
Let's just compete and we'll look up and see where we are in week eight.
Key, you believe this guy thinks he can win the Super Bowl week one for some reason.
That's what every team does. They compete. You try to go each game.
No, I watched the Giants last couple of years. Not
they
every team competes.
Compete. Exactly. I'm watching the Jets. They ain't competing.
Like, you know, it's a big thing. To say a coach can get a team to compete week in and week out, you know who does that?
Mike Tomlin.
John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin. Like, those guys, year in and year out, week in and week out, they compete. And then at the end of the season, you look up, you see where you are, right?
Yeah,
that's a big thing. That's all you can really ask for, coach.
And I honestly think that Brian Daboll in company over at the Giants take a week-to-week approach, count them up in a few weeks, and see where the other people are, and then go from there. It's an evaluation period for this team.
Know why, Jay, people like the Lions to improve their record? Because of that, right? Like, whatever you want to say, they were competing. They were competing. They weren't winning. They were competing.
I would like to compete and evaluate while winning as well.
Yeah, they would too.
There you go.
And that's what they want to do.
What a shocking assessment.
But what happens in y'all's city, part of y'all is the problem, is y'all put all that yeast on it the moment that they win a game. And everybody gets so excited, they start trying to figure out how the Giants can overtake the Cowboys and win it all.
That's right. We were waiting to bake the bread, and we got some matzah instead the last bunch of years and the unleavened bread.
All right, let's take a look at Daniel in West Virginia.
Daniel in West Virginia.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good.
Doing good. How about yourself, man?
All right. I see the Giants only going about 2-4 in the division. The Eagles are just all around the better roster. And the Commanders are built to smash their division opponents with that strong defensive line, good running game, and good receivers. maybe they can sweep Dallas, but if they can't beat their other opponents in the division, I don't see them scratching the surface for a playoff spot.
They'll probably get a win against Dallas. They'll probably get one against the Commanders, and then maybe one against
the
Navy.
What I did there, Max?
What's that?
I took Daniel because Daniel certainly wanted to be negative about the
hater,
Giants.
Right, West Virginia, right away.
I wanted to pour rain on y'all parade.
By the way, hey, how about this? The Commanders are – I'm not saying what team I'm a fan of, but the Commanders are built to smash everybody in the division. Colin in New York, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
What's up, fellas? Good morning.
What's up, Colin?
All right, man, I just want to say I think the league is a better place in the NFC East now with running backs like Saquon in the league, man. I grew up watching some of the best backs in the league in the 1990s. I think Saquon looks like one of my dad's favorite backs, Earl Campbell, man. He just runs downhill, got a lot of exciting running backs in the league. I love to see it.
I can certainly say within that first game, Max, he looked different, though.
He did
over the last couple of years.
Between the tackles, you mean?
Just in general, he looked more patient at times. He was running downhill. He was running aggressively. He just looked smooth and fresh. Everything just looked different than it did under Joe Judge.
I mean, Earl Campbell's not the guy I compare Saquon to, although Saquon is 233 pounds. But I would say that if he has a little more Earl Campbell in his game to go with the Barry Sanders stuff, he could set records this year.
Yeah, I don't want him to be Earl Campbell, though.
No, not that style back. No.
Yeah, that's too much abuse.
Yeah, that doesn't last long. Brian in Memphis, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
The show. Longtime Titans fan. I think the Giants look really good, but I wouldn't put it, on the first game because the Titans, like Keyshawn said, I don't think they're going to be anything close to last year. Derrick Henry and Tannehill didn't play a single preseason snap. We lost offensive linemen to pay the defense, and we've got a brand new receiving core.
They just looked awful.
They
still could have won. I mean, Tannehill, I'm very impressed by that last pass, the pass that he made to put him in field goal range. Like, I forgot how many yards on the play, but it was a dime at the end of the game. And after Saquon punched it in, that could be deflating. Tannehill needs to show that this season. That's really what he needs to show.
I mean, a lot of games can be defined, though, by teams that should have won.
Yeah.
But they don't, right? So, and also, these are games that can catapult a team and their confidence in themselves for what things actually have been preaching. Like sometimes you need games to get through where you fight through where it can turn your season into something different than what you expected it.
Aaron Judge was not offered the contract he wanted, and he was entering his prime, and it was the perfect setup for him to go bananas. The dude is setting the league on fire, and he could even win the 9 points off the batting average leader. He could win the Triple Crown and lead in every other statistical category that means anything. And now that it's going to cost him $300 million, not $200, right? Saquon Barkley is at the time where he's supposed to get paid. He's been hurt a bunch. Not that he's mad at the Giants the way Aaron Judge was at the Yankees, right? But he could have that kind of Aaron Judge-like year right now.
Do you
could
pay happen. Him?
Here's the thing about running backs, man. I would love Saquon to get the money. It never works when you pay him.
Yeah, but are you a Giants? Are you going to pay him?
Probably
if he gives you that 2,000 yards you're looking for.
I probably franchise him.
So you're going to make him mad?
Yeah, make him play for it again.
So you're going to make him mad.
I'd like to see him get the money.
I would love to see multiple years of him trying to remain healthy.
Right, they're going
to
franchise him again. Why wouldn't you? It's the way it sets up. Running backs get the business.
But you're going to make him mad.
Yep.
Why would you want a not-so-happy player on your team?
All right, what do you want to give him? Fine, let's negotiate. You're his agent. What do you want to give him?
If he does well and we feel like he's viable, you pay him what the market says.
I don't know. You want to give him how many years guaranteed?
What the market says, probably I would think two to three years.
Right, okay, fine. 2 to 3 guaranteed on Saquon, done. Done deal.
Put her there. Here's what I would say, though.
Yeah.
If I'm running the team, I'll probably let him walk. That's just me.
Why?
Because I can find a back to do what I need to do.
That's why you don't pay the back.
No, that's not why you don't pay the back. You don't pay a guy who's been hurt a lot.
Yeah,
That's what you don't do.
I hate to say it, most backs are interchangeable. What Saquon brings you when he's healthy is different. Puff up Alvin Kamara or puff up Christian McCaffrey. Give him an extra 20 pounds. Now you got Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, but the fact that Saquon – see, if Saquon Barkley – was what it would be his fifth year and he was consistent, then I wouldn't have a problem paying him.
But you'd be paying from what he already did, not what he's going to do.
Yeah, but you projecting what he's going to do.
Maybe the injuries key means he's fresher going forward.
Yeah, no, it may be that may be the case. But if he's fresher going forward, you got to pay him a lot of money. You got to pay him a lot of money.
That's why I tend towards franchising to see him do it.
But then you're gonna make him mad.
Yeah, if franchise anyone deserves tag, it to give
the franchise tag,
wants.
Jay. I think I'm makes the players it. Mad. Doesn't keep them happy.
I think I'm talked into it. Saquon is a good soldier, that type of dude. Give him 3 years, guarantee 2-3 years of money. Sure, why not? It's not like he's not going to play as hard as he can. The Giants haven't been in the playoffs since 2016. They haven't won a playoff game since Super Bowl 46. That's 2012. It's 10 years. And 2011 was also the last time the Giants won the division. ESPN's FPI projects the Giants to lose to Carolina. I project them to win. Caesar Sportsbook favors New York. 2.5 points, Jay, for over Carolina. Speaking of the NFC East, would the Cowboys be legit contenders in the NFC if Dak only misses 3 games?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The day after Dak Prescott had surgery, Jerry Jones saying they are not going to put him on IR.
Which would knock him out at least the next four games.
That's the worst thing he could do, is to rush back from something like this.
You think in 4 weeks he's going to come to save the day?
If they're being honest with themselves, they don't have a Super Bowl winning roster.
He's not 4 weeks away from playing quarterback in the NFL. I don't give a damn about optimism.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio. You know, the ESPN app, you probably have it on your phone. If you don't, download it. It takes 5 seconds. It's easy. One app, one tap. But it has a listen live function on the app. So I know it's 8:30 on the East Coast. You just got to work. Oh, damn, man. I don't want to be late. But if I don't get in there by 8:35, man. But they're about to get into the Cowboys. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Open the app. Hit go to the listen live feature, pop in your earphones, whatever, your headphones, AirPods, whatever you got, and take us right into work with you. Here's Jerry Jones, guys, saying that they're not putting Dak on IR, 105.3, the Fan in Dallas. Obviously, if you put him on IR, you cannot use him for 4 weeks. So what does it mean if they don't? Listen to Jerry.
We feel very good after surgery, after listening to the medical people, that Dak has a real chance to be back out there throwing the ball pretty quick.
You think the timeline is closer to the 4-game timeline or the 6-8?
I've given you as good as I know how to give, only, as you know, in medical, nobody knows those timelines good. But if we thought he wasn't going to be ready to go for 4 games, until after 4 games, we would put him on IR. We're not doing that.
So which one is it, though, Key? Nobody knows the time. You know medical. Nobody knows the timeline's that good. But in the same breath, we do expect him to be back maybe within 3 4 weeks.
Well, medical science is not a precise science. So I think what he's saying is that the bodies heal differently, but it is possible. Okay. He's being told it's possible. It's not out of the realm of possibility. He could be ready in under 4 weeks, Key.
Yeah, Jerry's listening to the medical staff, and the medical staff told him that there's a possibility that he could be back in 4 weeks, and there's no need to put him on IR because if he's back and he's on IR, then we got to wait. And they know that based on, you know, the surgery, the x-rays, how he's healing. He'll go back every week, I'm sure, to get looked at and checked out. And they'll continue to update Jerry and the staff about where his progress is at.
Yeah, different sciences, by the way, are more or less accurate. On the spectrum of accuracy, like astronomy, you'd be extremely accurate. Medical science is an inexact science because there are variables you can't account for the way different people heal differently and all that stuff. So they're giving them an estimate.
But I honestly think, though, they know based on what they see. They kind of get
a sense of it.
So, Key, I know what that feels like in basketball, but obviously even after going down to Duke and seeing you toss a football – Your right thumb on your throwing hand, man, to grip that ball, like, I wonder, like, what the process is of coming back off something like that. Like, 3 4 weeks, is that too soon?
I don't know if it is or if it isn't, Jay, because he's got screws and rods and all sorts of stuff. So the flexibility is probably going to be an issue. You know, your good friend Russell Wilson had the similar injury last year, and when he came back,
Has access to the royal doctors and stuff. It's a little different, Key.
So one of the things that he had after speaking to the royal doctors was something that he was able to do is come back and throw the football, but it wasn't the same. The ball wasn't spinning the same. Mm-hmm. The injury was, you know, still somewhat fresh, but that's Russell. Dak may heal differently. When you look at Dak's ankle surgery, the world was going to end. And then all of a sudden, he's back running around and doing everything like normal. So you just don't know. The doctors can only give you, a glimpse of hope on what they diagnose and how they look at it and see the progress as it continues to get better.
It's just funny because coming off that comment from Jerry Jones, all of a sudden everybody's expectations, you go from gloom and doom to, it creates a different set of expectations.
Absolutely.
Because as much as we sit here and say, well, we don't know how the body heals, just hearing Dak Prescott's name 3 to 4 weeks, now it sets the expectation that this team can still make the playoffs.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
So it sets him up, you know what I mean?
If he comes back in that time frame that Jerry has set and the doctors have set out, they're going to still be in the playoff mix because they can win the division.
I hear, but it kind of sets him up almost for – I mean, who knows how he comes back, but it just sets the bar pretty high off a dude coming off an injury and surgery.
But on the other hand, Jones has many considerations. Yeah. It doesn't mean that these two things are – he could be telling the truth and be doing something while he's telling the truth.
Mm.
The Dallas Cowboys are relevant every year. That starts because the Tom Landry era, really, and Tech Schramm, America's team, and they have the most fans dispersed throughout the country more than any other team. That's why their valuation is as the highest franchise in any American sport. By the way, that's largely a real estate deal when you talk about the valuation of a team. Land in Dallas ain't like what it is in New York or L.A., but yet they have the highest valuation. It's because of their fan base. Now, how did they get that fan base? Initially, all that success and everything. Then Jerry Jones bought it, had success. And yes, in the last quarter century, they haven't won the Super Bowl, but they are frequently in the mix. They keep everyone interested, and then they fall late, right? Late in the season, they collapse. In the playoffs, they collapse. He can't have a season where from week two, from the middle of week one on, the first game, people are like, season's over. On this show, everyone said, season's over. On every show on ESPN.
Season's over, Max, if he don't play until – if he even went on IR, season's over.
Right. So by Jerry saying we're not putting him on IR, at least now we can't all come out and say their season's over.
It doesn't matter if you put him on IR, put him not on IR. Jerry said it or don't say it. The Cowboys fan base ain't going nowhere. They're not losing money based on him not playing. They're not going to lose any money.
Well, except do you think Jerry is only interested? Let's put it this way. Let me rephrase it. Do you believe that Jerry thinks that staying culturally relevant in terms of pop culture, in terms of coverage, is significant in terms of the bigger picture and his bottom line, right?
They're gonna stay relevant anyway.
More relevant. Keith, they're more relevant if they're in the play. If people aren't saying their season's over.
That's not true.
Keith.
No, here's why it's not true.
If they're 0-6,
Here's why it's not true, because First Take and Stephen A. Smith gonna talk about them every single Monday, regardless.
But
with Michael Irvin,
in a positive.
It doesn't matter though. As Jerry said once before, and I think I told you these guys this story. Jerry said once before, the reason he goes out to Los Angeles to practice is so that the eyeballs can follow the team regardless. It's a marketing ploy.
You got to give the people hope. You got to give them hope.
It's good to give them hope, but in the end, though, Max, the Dallas Cowboy fan base is going to stretch regardless.
Hey.
Even if they 0-10 on Monday Night Football, people going to watch.
Phoenix Suns owner Robert Sarver still owns the team. However, he has been suspended and fined $10 million after an investigation found his conduct, quote, clearly violated workplace standards. Is there anything NBA players can do to get him removed, should they?
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Now I've seen everything.
So, I mean, Key,
I've seen everything now. Key has crossed over to the other side.
For all this trash talk that you guys have given me about NFTs, now on NFLAllDay.com, Keyshawn Johnson has his own NFT, Max.
Can I see it?
I just sent it to you, Max.
Yep. Okay, it's a nice catch by Key. Key, there. This is great. It's number 8284. That's your number. So you have to sign. I have to sign in to buy, but I got to be.
Are you buying it?
Well, you have to sign in to buy it.
Oh.
I mean, I assume this is with the NFLPA, right?
Yeah, it's something with the NFLPA.
That's a hell of a catch.
Yeah, NFLPA deal.
I liked how he popped up and made sure everyone saw how he caught it, too.
I got to reach out to the NFLPA because I need to figure out what's up with the royalties, though.
That was going to be the first question I was going to ask you. How much you getting compensated for this?
I didn't even know about it until Paulie showed it to me the other day and was like, you got an NFT.
Remember when you made that catch, Key? You turned to your teammate and said, watch this NFT I'm about to do.
And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, hell, maybe I'll get rich like Jay.
See, why you keep trying to put this on? I just like that
he's
you're
a working
in the
man,
NFL
humble.
Team.
Humble.
You're in an
man.
NFT team. That's all that matters.
No,
you're in
but
the
you
game
told
now.
Me that I could be like, I could sell it for like $6-7 billion or something.
What are we talking about? Ethereum?
ETH? I guess that's what it's called.
It does not transfer to USD currency. not yet for you. But this Ethereum, is a good sign, Max. You are next. I wonder what would Max's NFT like? You rapping? That would probably be like your NFT.
I don't know.
I just
saw an NFT. I still don't know what it is.
Something with a cliff, right?
Yeah, something with a cliff behind him, yes.
I don't know. NFT, huh?
I don't want him jumping off any cliffs now. Come on.
No, it'll just be Tom Brady staring at him with a cliff
behind
him.
Point. No one fell off a cliff, so it'll just be him standing by one.
Let me guess what these NFTs are going to be worth eventually. Bad news for everyone.
Well, I'm trying to get it.
There's no intrinsic value in an NFT.
I'm just mad that so did they send it to you, Key, or did you find out from somebody else that it was out?
No, Paul. That's what I'm saying. Paul showed it to me.
And by the way,
so nobody told you it was up.
Jay, can I ask you why I would need an NFT if I can get it on my phone and look at the same thing that you're looking at? Who cares who owns it? I can access it whenever I want.
What?
An NFT. I just saw Key's NFT.
Yeah, so
why would I ever need to buy anyone's NFT if I could see it on my phone whenever I want to see it? How do you own it? Like, what do you do? See what I mean? There's no value in it.
It's like a virtual baseball card. I mean, there's value in that, right?
Right, but I can't access a baseball card on the phone.
Not a virtual baseball card.
But a virtual baseball card, the point is you can access it from a remote device. I can do that without owning it. Therefore, it has no value.
I totally hear what you said, Max.
Yeah.
I just showed it to you.
Yeah, I just seen it. Yeah. Great, I have an NFT now. Yeah. I didn't pay anything for it.
So, like, Web3, you don't think Web3, like, is a thing?
I don't even know about Web 1 or 2. What is Web3?
I can tell.
Would you try to
log on to the Zoom every morning? Poor guy. Talking about technology.
I took an electronic typewriter to college. But give me a break.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike.
Guys, Phoenix Suns owner Robert Sarver has been suspended and fined $10 million. You're listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. There's a feature on the ESPN app, probably already on your phone. If it's not downloaded, it takes 5 seconds. You hit listen live, and you're not in the car. You don't have access to a radio. It doesn't matter. You can listen to us live on the app. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. So the Phoenix Suns owner, Robert Sarver, has been suspended and fined $10 million. An investigation found that Sarver had engaged in what the NBA calls, quote, workplace misconduct and organizational deficiencies, end quote. The findings of the NBA's report came nearly a year after the NBA asked the law firm to investigate allegations reported by ESPN that Sarver had a history of racist, misogynistic, and hostile incidents over his nearly two-decade tenure overseeing the Suns. Here's Baxter Holmes, ESPN senior NBA writer, on the 6 p.m. Sports Center yesterday.
Certainly among staffers who I've talked to today, including at the executive level, there's a measure of frustration that the punishment was not more severe. The phrase, this is a slap on the wrist, was cited to me multiple times, and I'm going to read one from a current staffer. I cannot express to you how mad and disappointed people are at the spineless nature of the NBA's decision. This is from a current staffer today. Certainly a measure of maybe relief in some ways that this finally came out after so much time. But after all that time, all the interviews and the extensive nature of the NBA's investigation, again, through many who I've talked to, there is a feeling that the NBA did not go far enough, did not go nearly go far enough, especially in comparison to the punishment for Donald Sterling.
So this is the first thing I said, Max, when this happened yesterday. I sent everybody the article on the text chain. I said, a slap on the wrist. Like, to me, Robert Sarver should not have an NBA team. Like, he is not the NBA owner that the NBA deserves to have. And just let me read to you what the investigation found to be. Key, on at least five occasions, he repeated the N-word when recounting the statements of others. He engaged in instances of inequitable conduct towards female employees, made many sex-related comments in the workplace, made inappropriate comments about the physical appearances of female employees and other women, and on several occasions engaged in inappropriate physical conduct towards male employees. To me, Key, if you're saying that word openly in a casual conversation, even if you think it's warranted or not, like, that is a problem. That's a major problem. And when there are misogynistic comments made towards female employees that you're openly saying, to me, like, there's no place in professional sports for that, period. I think that Adam Silver and the NBA really missed the mark on this one because the evidence to me proves that he's not worthy to own an NBA team.
I don't think it's acceptable in any workplace, right? Not just the NBA or the NFL or sports in general. Society. This is different than – this is a little bit different than Donald Sterling. And the reason it's a little bit different than Donald Sterling is because we asked the question, why is he allowed to still be an owner in the NBA? Well, Donald Sterling was an audio, right? It was an audio tape that was eventually put in the hands of the commissioner and many other people and even into the public. It's a little bit different. Right here, there's nothing. There's hearsay, and there's he said it, she said, but I didn't really say it that way, and maybe you did, maybe you didn't. So it's a big, big difference. That still doesn't matter to me, though, right? And the reason it doesn't matter to me, because we do know, based on your history, your long history, much like Donald Sterling, he had a long history, and people knew his history up until the audio tape, Max. You were in L.A. with me. Mm-hmm. And then once that came, it was like, we can't do it.
That is the difference. The difference is there was people's imagination. You can hear, well, he said this, this, and this. It's not the same. The way human beings are wired, like, you can hear there's a disaster some part of the world and 100 people died. And it registers, that's a terrible thing. But if you see it, it has a different effect on
Absolutely.
You, right? And so when we hear Donald Sterling say those things, there's no getting the toothpaste back in the tube. That dude's got to go. And I was impressed with Adam Silver because that was like his first big decision as commissioner. And I thought what happened to Sarver just now, guys, was going to happen to Donald Sterling. I thought, oh, they'll give him a year and $10 million. And he said, nope, you can't have a franchise. Sarver, I think, is very lucky right now.
Right now, there's no video
or audio evidence.
That's okay. But here's what I would say. Here's how you get the video and the audio and accomplish something that I would think that many people that look like me that are in the NBA and many people that don't stand for this type of rhetoric that don't look like me will rely on the NBA players, most notable a guy like Chris Paul, who's on the team, who's a friend of mine, to speak out and say something, okay? That's what I would think, and I would hope that DeAndre Ayton would say something. I would hope that LeBron James, when he comes off vacation, will say something
if
he hasn't already, to apply the pressure to have him removed as an owner of an NBA team.
You know what? I think it's incumbent who has an extra responsibility is the white players. Why? These are your coworkers. These are people, right? Like, why does it always fall on the shoulders of the black players when if something like this happens? Or why should? That's why everyone's mind goes. It's not okay. When Colin Kaepernick knelt and then others knelt, I've said on First Take at the time, some white player should do what I called it the Pee Wee Reese, because back in the day when Jackie Robinson broke the color line, people were throwing stuff at him.
Yeah, Pee Wee Reese stepped in.
Pee Wee Reese, white shortstop, Jackie Robinson played second base, went over and put his arm around Jackie Robinson. That let everyone know, I'm with this dude and this dude is with me. You're throwing garbage at him, you're throwing garbage at me, right? Well, if black players, and in this case it's more indirect, but are getting thrown garbage at them, right? Then it is incumbent upon the people they work with and the people who aren't the targets necessarily of that to go put your arm around them, say, no, this is coming at all of us now. I would like, and by the way, you know who did it? Chris Long. And is that a big surprise? No, it's not.
And I think you're going to find some NBA people that, I mean, obviously this is fresh, right? It's a fresh situation in terms of the $10 million in a year ban and all that. It's fresh. People are moving around. These things continue to evolve over hours. But I wouldn't be shocked if players that play for the Suns, white and black, and other teams decide to say, you know what, no. Because remember the Clippers situation. The players eventually was like, man, we're not playing. We're not dealing with this. And it did ratcheted everything up and move the needle past everything and move forward. And eventually he had to sell the team. And I think this could potentially be the same thing.
Why do we always ask the NBA players to be the ones that have to force change?
Got more juice.
It's just I understand it, but it is
Well, what other intriguing. Who else you going to ask?
The NBA.
Uh-huh,
the
uh-huh,
NBA
uh-huh.
to do it.
Yeah, right.
The NBA to do it. That's their job. It's and that's how Adam looks at their brand. I just think it's interesting how we always put the weight and the responsibility on the players in the NBA, whereas the NFL, seems like it's different.
No, the
like,
reason
well,
I
who's doing this for the Washington Commanders?
But wait,
with Daniel
Jay,
Snyder.
The reason like, I put the weight on the NBA players for this situation is because the NBA has already put down their foot at $10 million in a year ban.
Yeah,
so now the players need to step up.
White players, too.
Exactly.
But, like, why is it that, like why if there is that was for an NBA players? It's not for the NFL players also. Like, it's just easier to, like, oh, NBA guys, because there's a history. We don't force change with NFL guys either.
All right, look, Aaron, we got to talk more about this. But
yeah,
Aaron
Rodgers,
we got to get into him, too, in the NFC North. That's coming right up. Keyshawn, J. Willis.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.